Salo Falava. I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes. And I'm absolutely pumped about today's show. We have plenty to get through. There's plenty happening across the Pacific with all the sport going on. So this is what's coming up on the show. You'll meet Erickson Komeng, head coach of the women's PNG football team.
It's going to be exciting for the girls because the hard work they put in since day one. Some of the girls have come to ending of their career, and if we can qualify, it would be exciting for them and for everyone.
You'll also hear from Fijian front rower from the Fijian Druid, Mesake Donge.
It's massive, even for me as a player to be able to be still playing in this big competition. And it's just a dream come true, and especially his history making to be a part of it is just amazing.
And we'll also talk through the latest from the OFC in football, rugby and taekwondo. And to help me do all this, I need a fair bit of help, and my help is coming from PNG, and it's also coming from Fiji. First up, we have Patricia Kiamo. Patricia, hello, welcome back. Great to have you back on.
Hey, Sam, it's good to be back. And as always, great to have a co-host for PNG and Fiji.
that's a deadly combination right there for sure. And let's get over to Fiji. Leilani Burns, welcome back.
Hey, Bula, Vanaka, Malo, Lele, and hello to Patricia. It's so great to be back on the waves with you guys. It's always a nice look forward to jump on Fresh Off the Field, so can't wait for today.
Oh, I'm so happy that you can actually even squeeze us in, Leilani. The amount of travel that you do, the amount of work that you do, the different hats that you do, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I got back into the country on Saturday, so back here in Fiji at the moment. Just came back from a few weeks over in the UK around the Nations Championship, and then I head back again in 2 weeks' time, going back to the UK for another stint. So, yeah, I feel great to be back home in Fiji. It's a little bit hot out here. It's a lot more hotter than the UK, but, I'm loving it.
Are you going to set up residency there in the UK? Surely.
I'm only there for the end of the Nations Championship after we win a walk away winning that. So
okay,
then I'm back home to Fiji again.
I love the confidence. It's going to be tough, but
it will be tough.
Let's see if they can get the job done. But let's get into the show.
Fresh Off the Field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to start the show with the Big Bowl. And the Big Bowl is where we come together, take a seat on the mat, and chat about the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back and fill your cup up as myself, Patricia, and Leilani run through the must-know sports across the Pacific.
The Big Bowl.
All right, let's get underway. Patricia, we have the FIFA World Cup 2026 pathway opportunities, I believe, but I'll let you fill us in on what's happening there.
Well, it's a big weekend in Mexico for our fellow Pacific Island country, New Caledonia. So New Caledonia is in Mexico for the pathway one of the FIFA World Cup playoff tournament. They will be taking on Jamaica at the Guadalajara Stadium. And it's a big one because that match against Jamaica is basically a semifinal. So if they win that match against Jamaica, they will have to play the final against Congo on the 31st of March with a spot into the FIFA World Cup on the line. So it's two wins away from their historic first World Cup qualification. So a big weekend ahead for New Caledonia. They've been training, preparing for that tournament since last year. And this is all going down this weekend in Mexico. So They basically have to get two wins. First one's against Jamaica, and then they will play the final against Congo. And if they win that one, they get a ticket into the World Cup next year, where they will be in Group K with Colombia, Portugal, and Uzbekistan. It's a big group that they're playing for that one spot left in Group K. They're going up against, two. Well, first off, Jamaica is a great football nation, and they are currently ranked much higher than New Caledonia. But over the years, New Caledonia have proved their worth, especially in the last qualifiers for the 2022 World Cup. They did pretty well going up against New Zealand in the finals and went through that same process of the pathway, playing in the pathway against countries from other confederations. So this is a huge one for New Caledonia, just two games away from reaching their first World Cup.
When I think about New Cal coming up against some opposition that on paper might be the favourites compared to them, what's been impressive about the way New Caledonia and the way that they've been playing to potentially beat these two bigger teams? What have they been doing well?
Well, the good thing about New Caledonia is a good number of their players are French-based, so they've been playing in the leagues in French League One, and a couple other second tier and third tier leagues. So they've got that experience of players playing abroad against other competitive and professional players. So that's a plus for them. And I believe a couple of their players as well have been playing in the OFC Pro League, which started off this year, but it's been a good build-up of progress from the team. I think apart from New Zealand, New Caledonia has been the other nation in the Oceania region that has been, especially for the men's side, that has been a standout in their performance. And they are the only other country. Well, New Zealand's already in the World Cup, so they're the only other country from the region that's playing for a bet in the World Cup. So that's huge for them.
Have you got any standout performers for us to look out for?
Oh yeah, a player that I think will be a really standout performer for New Caledonia will be Jermaine Haiwange. He is one of the most experienced player. He's been with the team since he was a youth, basically started off in the youth team, and has been with the senior men's team for over 10 years. So Jermaine's been a standout player. He's currently playing with Tahiti United in the OFC Pro League, and I think he is the club's top goal scorer at the moment. So he's going to be a firepower for New Caledonia up front.
Beautiful. Well, all the best to Nukow. Hopefully they can get the job done. And sorry, can you remind us again, when is that game against Jamaica?
The match against Jamaica is tonight.
Tonight. Perfect. So make sure everyone tunes in and supports the mighty New Caledonia team. Hopefully they can get that first win and then move on to that second game and go to the World Cup. So unbelievable stuff there. Leilani, let's go to you now. 100 days to go until Fiji participate in the very first Nations Championships. How are you feeling about this one?
Super excited. I think it is an amazing opportunity, just not for Fiji. Obviously, they're going out there representing the entire Pacific community as the only team out there competing against those giants of rugby. So I'm really excited. I can't wait.
The feeling amongst the people of Fiji, how are they feeling as well? Because I know that we've seen some interviews from past players, some board members around their excitement, but the general gist of the fans in Fiji, how are they feeling about this?
I think everybody's really excited about it. We've been having various different events that's been here in the country that's been happening from the launch and so forth. And even right through to the Great Council of Chiefs, down to the entertainers and just the broader fans as a whole, I think everyone, every time we're talking about it, you just see everyone's faces light up about how massive this opportunity is for Fiji. And also just with the understanding of the ramifications of hosting events like this at an international stage. As much as we'd love to have it back here on the ground in Fiji, we don't have the facilities, but when we are going out there and hosting these international matches on the at venues like in the UK, we understand that the ramifications financially is massive for us. So these takings are going to go back into the broader rugby landscape and benefit our people directly. So everyone's super excited by it.
Oh, so that's positive news that the home games that are played, say in the UK, Fiji Rugby are taking the gate tickets, or is it the whole fee, or is it like 100%. A tournament fee?
So, no. So we are not going across just to take a tournament fee. So these are very much part and parcel our home matches. So what we're doing is, you know, as we know, 100 days of kickoff, we're the only Pacific team heading across there, but we are hosting these matches in the three different venues. So down in Cardiff, up in Liverpool, and across in Edinburgh as well against England, Wales and Scotland. And as a home, home team, and putting on these international matches, what that means is we take the profits.
That's amazing news, actually. I didn't know that that's how it was going to take the gate taking, because I was like, why wouldn't you have it in, say, someone like a New Zealand or Australia, where there's probably a bit more diaspora, Fijian diaspora here, but I think you've got probably more of a chance, don't you think, like in the UK, to sell out the crowds. Is that probably more of an understanding?
That's right. And we also do have quite a big, passionate diaspora, which is up in the UK as well. You may not know, but we have quite a lot of servicemen and women that are currently servicing, representing in the military up in the UK.
Mate, they could be a national team. They could be a national team.
Exactly.
I've seen them play the sevens. I've seen some of the players, you know, play for the Flying Fijians coming from that pathway. So I do
That's
know
right.
that there's a strong contingent of British Army, Fijian Army over there. So that's pretty cool that they'll be involved. So will they be involved, will they?
Yes, definitely. So what we've been doing, I've actually just come back from being over in the UK, as I mentioned, and part and parcel of that is we actually went out and did a roadshow across visiting all of our communities that are based up there in the UK. And so in terms of bringing our people on board this journey with us, we are very much committed to that. So in terms of the entertainment, our culture, our Mecca performance, our authentic food and drinks, you know, honestly, Sam, Patricia, coming into these matches are going to be just like you are walking into a home match back in Fiji. We're taking a little bit of slice of Fiji and we're injecting it over there in the UK. So not only are you going to see amazing Fijian flair out onto the pitch, but all touch points from even before you get into the stadium, you know, with like our warriors out there. When you get into the gates, we're going to have our Mecca performers. We're even creating an entire Fijian village, which is going to represent our authentic food, our culture, our arts, every single different aspect of who we are, Fiji. We're going to display it out there for the world to see.
Okay, well, a couple of big questions then. Will there be anyone watching from the trees? If you're taking the Fiji, if you're taking the Fijian flavour to the stadium over there, will there be anyone in the trees watching?
Well, you know, I had a look at the stadiums. The trees
be a
aren't
tall
that
tree.
Close to the stadium. The walls are pretty high. But you know what, Sam? I'm sure we can build a coconut tree over there.
Yes.
Or plant one there for you, to climb up and check.
Okay, there's question number one. And then the final one on taking a slice of Fiji over there, the buckets of Carver. Are they allowed to be in the grandstand? That's famous at the Drua Games. Not allowed to.
But no, the laws around Carver in the UK are quite strict. So you actually aren't able to drink it in public like that as much as we'd love to.
That's disappointing. But hey, there's other good news to follow. You can't have it all. And then finally, when I think about the facilities, you did touch on it. Did I see or did I hear that Fiji Rugby have bought up some land to potentially find a spot to build a new stadium in Fiji? Is that happening?
We have. So we've actually signed off on it at the moment. So one of the reasons, as we said, why Fiji is not playing our home games for the Nations Championship here in the country is because we do not meet the minimum requirements in terms of capacity for stadiums. You have to have a minimum of 25,000 people that's within the stadium capacity, and then 10,000 of those have to be covered. So as I mentioned, with the revenue that's going to be generated from the Nations Championship, which will come back and get injected straight back into the rugby land ecosystem, talking about our women's programs, our grassroots programs, and also our facilities. So with the facilities, one of the plans that we have in place at the moment is to be able to build our stadium, which has been signed off on, and that's over 10 minutes north of the airport. So looking forward to potentially 2030 for us to be able to host our nation's championship games back here in the country.
Man, some exciting times ahead for Fiji and Rugby Union. I'm looking forward to that, especially that stadium. Man, that's going to be unbelievable. But we're going to stay with rugby and stay on the, I guess, the theme of funding. So in Samoa, I think there's going to be some massive changes on the horizon for Lucky Samoa. And now these changes are due to the fact there's $150 million worth of funding from the Australian government to Fiji, Tonga and Samoa for Pacific Rugby Union. But for Samoa, we have the Prime Minister for Samoa. He wasn't going to sign off on this funding agreement until the current Rugby Samoan board and management handed in their resignation because of years and years of off-field issues surrounding the national team. We did see the former Prime Minister, Tui Laepa, he resigned, but the board at the moment are refusing to step down. So we've only had Tui Laepa, former Prime Minister, who was the chairman of Rugby Samoa. He has stepped down, but the board are refusing to go anywhere. So this is a bit of a Mexican standoff here with the government and the Rugby Samoa governing bodies, because what's going to happen here with this is now that they are looking to make a new rugby board, a new rugby entity. So I'm not sure whether that leaves it for like Manu Samoa, and if they break off and they do something else. But Leilani, you're in this space. You understand how this all works behind the scenes. When you're seeing this unfold in Samoa, like, what are your initial thoughts around the governance and probably a potential split, as well as leaving a lot of money on the table? Because I know where this money is going towards. There's some good things, which I will mention very soon, but there's plenty of happening there.
Yeah, I think it's just a really unfortunate situation. Obviously, there's some really good funding that's going to come through, and who's going to benefit that? It's the athletes. So in all honesty, I hope that they are able to just put the differences aside and make the best decision for the organization and for the athletes as a whole, and work through that to be able to take it through. But yeah, like you said, Mexican standoff at the moment, but I think we need to... I don't know if that was me in that position. You need to put your
egos to the side
and look at the bigger picture.
There is a big picture there, because you know when you think about where this money can go towards, like speaking to Dan Millis, who's head of Pacific Partnerships across the Pacific, who you know pretty well, Leilani, he said there's going to be a Pacific Rugby Championships for both the men and women. So Fiji, Samoa, Tonga and Australia, they'll be playing this in September and November. So I'm assuming that if you're not involved in the rugby or the Nations Cup, like there'll be another one underneath again, which is good for so many players getting exposure and opportunities. So that will go through as a Tier 2 competition. There's also talks around the Fijian Drua entering into the Super AU competition after Super Rugby. There's a Pacific Sevens Championships for both men and women. There's, what else is there? There's a National High Performance Fund for academies in Fiji, Samoa and Tonga. And there's also an opportunity for community rugby, so Rugby for Resilience, where this will be an opportunity for education, gender equality and inclusion, a unique social role to build stronger communities through rugby. Like, there's plenty of happening where this $150 million investment will go towards, but what's holding the final sign off is what's happening with the board. And I hope this gets sorted soon, because there's some pretty amazing things. And Patricia, I'll bring you in here on this one. When you think about where funding has gone in PNG, like, I'm seeing where the PNG Chiefs, with their announcement, now they're really building the pathway system into that team. How has that unfolded now, since now we've had this announcement for nearly over, I don't know, months now, and I think nearly a year now, potentially? I could be wrong there. But what have we seen in terms of grassroots and excitement and pathway opportunities to help feed into that team?
Well, a lot has been said. You know, a lot of big plans dropped here and there. The money's coming in. But in terms of like real work on the ground, it's a work in progress. I'd say not much has been done, you know, in terms of, you know, seeing actual tangible results on the ground. Some work has started, but for, you know, development pathways and grassroots programs and all that, that has been ongoing. But if you talk about, you know, infrastructure, like, you know, setting up the village that the team will be based, well, players and stuff and all that, that's still a work in progress. Like I said, we're yet to see actual, you know, tangible developments on the ground in that space. It has brought about a mixture of feelings from people here. Of course, the excitement is there to have our own team in the NRL, but a lot's been said.
I understand from a facilities point of view, but in terms of, again, I'm only sort of seeing it through socials and the work, probably say like Joe Grimer is doing, like I'm seeing more and more coaches going over there. I'm seeing more opportunities that at a younger age for players to understand what it takes to be an NRL player. Is that what you're seeing as well, being on the ground over there, or is that just a bit of social media build-up?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, Joe's been doing a really fantastic job. I think he's been in the country and getting the work done long before the Chiefs got the bid to be one of the teams in the NRL. So he's continuing to doing the amazing things that he's been doing in that space, which is something that I'm actually happy to see. I mean, we want to see that happen. Actual work being done on the ground and people benefiting from it, you know, especially with the influx of coaches from Australia coming in and upskilling the local coaches here as well, getting those programs out into you know, different areas, and most of all, you know, kids are getting to have that interest in getting into the academies and all that. So that's a step in the positive direction that I'm happy to see.
And Leilani, when you heard some of those initiatives that will come from this funding, the $150 million funding, which one excites you the most around that?
I think for me personally, I mean, they've got positives, pros of many of those different programs. But the thing that excites me the most is most probably the resilience programs. I mean, being able to get together and work with the kids in our region and, you know, putting positive actions in place to curb some of the challenges that are around at the moment, like the drug situation and NCDs and all of those things. I think that's probably the number one for me, being able to work with the kids and give them a focus, a purpose, and also, you know, a good mindset to be able to proceed with life. I mean, the habits that you're going to pick up from these programs will stay with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, these programs keep kids busy. And
exactly, it
gives them the tools to understand how to make better decisions in life. So I'm with you on that one. The other one I'm really looking forward to is actually the Pacific Under-18s and Under-20s Championships. I think when I look at the 20s World Cup, that's going to be happening very soon. And actually, I think Campisi Maafu has just been announced as the Under-20s forwards coach as well. So you've a look of surprise there, Leilani, that I knew that information. I've got my ear close to the ground here. I've got my ear close to the ground. Don't you worry about that. But I just think those age groups are so important to feed into those future tournaments. And we've only got one. Fiji's been the only one in the Tier 1 World Cup, Under-20s World Cup, for the last sort of, I don't know, maybe 5 years, where when I came through, we did see Tonga, we did see Samoa in those tournaments and Fiji. So we need to get those teams back in those age group championships, because that's where you can unearth more stars and they get a really good understanding of what it takes to go to the next level. But that's us for the Big Bowl. That is us. Plenty of information, plenty of sport happening. And we're going to get off to, where are we going to next? To one of the interviews.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, our first interview today on Fresh Off the Field. Patricia, we are going to hear a chat you had with PNG Women's Football Head Coach Erickson Komeng. Give us a bit of intel before we get into the interview. What's he like as a person?
Oh, Eric's a really fantastic guy. He's very, very down to it, but also strict at the same time. The first time I met him, I was actually scared to approach him and talk to him. But yeah, no, he's a nice guy. I think he kind of looks intimidating because he's got dreads and he ties them all up like a turban on his head. So I think, yeah, seeing that from afar. Yeah, I caught up with him. I was actually with the team in Fiji for the FIFA Women's World Cup Oceania qualifiers, where PNG competed in the group stage against Fiji, New Caledonia, and Vanuatu, and after a successful tournament, the team's back in Papua New Guinea now, preparing for the next stage. So I had a chat with Eric this week just to find out, you know, how the team's been doing with their preparation and all that for the next stage in New Zealand.
Nice. And what did you start off by asking him?
I started off by asking him to just give a recap of how things were in Fiji, you know, coming back from a successful tournament, and how their preparations are going so far.
Yes, also a good tournament in Fiji. We will take a lot of positive stuff out of the tournament in Fiji, and coming back here and a 1 week break for the girls to refresh, and we start again. And it was good that the girls didn't drop their guards. They look fit when we resume training, and from last week till this week, they've been looking well. And the good thing is they're staying healthy. And we're looking forward for the semi-final in New Zealand.
Right. So far, how's preparation going? You know, since resuming training last week and then now.
Yes, I. It has been intense because of the 1 week break that the girls took. So I've been intensely click, but her girls picked up. And the good thing, like I said, they're looking forward for a tournament, and it's all about the hard work they put in.
All right. For the semifinals, you have American Samoa. You know, it's a team that you know, the girls haven't played regularly. So, you know, how are you looking at, you know, American Samoa's in a style of play, and then working?
Yes, American Samoa, they've improved a lot in the last couple of years. Seeing them play in the other pool, Pool B, in Solomon Island that host, they are a good team. They are a good side. That's why they qualified for the semi-final, and yeah, we're looking forward to play them. We haven't played them. I think the last time we played against them was 2023 Pacific game. So it's been a while. They got some quality players. They've improved a lot. So we just go back to drawing board and continue work on things that we're supposed to do, and focus on them.
Right. I understand, you know, last week and this week the weather has been, you know, rainy, and it's cold a bit. Do you think, you know, that works in your favor in terms of, you know, getting the girls to train in this sort of cold weather, given you'll be playing in New Zealand where the weather is a bit colder there?
Yes, I think so. It's been cold lately, the rain weather, but nothing comes easy. Girls have been working hard, and if it's cold in New Zealand, we'll still play. If it's hot in New Zealand, we'll still play. Girls are looking forward for that trip to New Zealand, and I'm pretty sure girls have taken the weather in, and hopefully we can play well better in the both climate, wet and cold weather.
All right, you know, semi-final, and then given you make it through the semi-final, the finals is a big one. The grand final winner gets a direct entry into the World Cup, and then the runner-up also has another chance again to go into you know, the playoffs. So, you know, how is that sort of motivated the team in terms of achieving that goal of reaching the World Cup?
It's going to be exciting for the girls because the hard work they put in since day one. Some of the girls have come to ending of their career, and if they if we can qualify, it would be exciting for them and for everyone. Yeah, but I always tell the girls we have to play the semi-final first, and let the grand final will flow in as long as we play a good game in semi-final. But it would be so exciting if we can go all the way and qualify. It's going to be exciting news for the girls and for everyone back home.
Thanks, Coach, and best of luck in your preparation.
Thank you.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and a big thank you to Patricia for that chat with PNG Women's Football Head Coach Erickson Komeng. I loved how you said before the interview that you're a little bit intimidated going up to the head coaches. I think all head coaches have that sort of aura about them when you want to ask them, you know, a few questions and get them to do media. So I understand that feeling, even though that I've played the game, I still have that feeling of like, oh man, these head coaches are going to go off at me if I ask the wrong question. But Leilani, we'll hear from you a bit later on in the show with that chat with Mesake Donge. But for now, let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Yes, it's time to go island hopping. We have talked plenty of sports across the region, and it's not going to stop now. But Patricia, you're first up. We have the FIFA Series 2026. But what have you got for us here?
Yes, Sam Leilani. I think this is my favorite part of the show, jumping on the VAR. We've got the FIFA Series 2026 that's underway. It started yesterday. So the FIFA Series was piloted in 2024, and after a successful pilot, it has now expanded, and we're seeing about 50 men's and women's national teams that are competing in this year's edition. From our region, we've got Australia, New Zealand, Solomon Islands, as well as American Samoa, who are competing in the series. American Samoa was the first team that played last night, and unfortunately for them, they lost 5-2 to U.S. Virgin Islands. They were down by 4 goals towards the end of the game, and their captain came back to score 2 late goals, but unfortunately wasn't enough for them to get a win. So that was the first team. Tomorrow, on Friday, we will have the other three nations from the region that will be playing. First up, we've got Solomon Islands, who will be playing at 3 p.m. against Bulgaria. That's the group that's being hosted in Indonesia. After that, we've got New Zealand at 7 p.m. They are hosting one group at Eden Park. They will be playing Finland at 7 p.m. And then we've got Australia playing Cameroon at 8 p.m. So all three big matches happening tomorrow. It is bigger, and for the first time, they have women's teams also playing, which is interesting to see, because when it was piloted in 2024, it was just the men's national teams that played in the series, and now it's expanded. So an interesting weekend. After tomorrow's matches, a couple more matches from Oceania countries that are playing, so it will be interesting to see how the results pan out.
Well, I'm sure you'll keep us up to date when they come through over the next about a week, and we'll check in next Thursday with all those results. So we'll have that for you. Let's go to you now, Leilani. You're on the paddles next, and you've got some Oceania Taekwondo Championship news.
That's right. So I sailed all the way across to your neck of the woods over in Sydney, and the Oceania Taekwondo Championships are about to kick off down in Liverpool at a place called the Wiltmar Leisure Centre.
That's about 15 minutes from my house, actually.
Oh, there you go. So as I said, down your neck of the woods, Sam. This is the major regional championship for the entire Oceania region. It's an integral part in terms of not only having that high level competition for our athletes, but also in terms of high performance pathways for the region. In terms of the teams that are participating at present, we've got Vanuatu locked in, the Solomon Islands, Fiji, New Zealand, and of course the host nations of Australia. And across for these competitions, they will be competing in the Kyorugi categories, and they've got a couple of different categories within that. So we've got the cadets, the juniors, the seniors, and also the mixed gender teams, which will be competing as well. The good thing about this event is that it is a World Taekwondo sanctioned event, so there are rankings which are up for grabs. However, when you're looking at the teams, the overall champions for the last couple of years have been Australia. Needless to say, they have got a deep talent pool for their athletes, and also because of the high performance environments that they are subjected to. But needless to say, we also see New Zealand and Fiji that are constantly going up there onto the medal board. So, you know, anything is possible come competition day, hey? But apart from that, it is actually the OTU, which is the governing body for Oceania. They are actually celebrating their 20th anniversary. So, as part of this competition, there's a lot of other supplementary events that are going on, such as their gala dinners. They've got training camps that are happening for the juniors at the moment, and also they've got workshops around all on the agenda. So no doubt come this weekend, all eyes are firmly set 15 minutes down the road from you, Sam.
I better get down there and see what's happening and give us an update for next week. But appreciate that, Leilani. We're going to get back to you now, Patricia. You're back on the paddles. And by no surprise, you've got more football news for us. It's just full of football.
Yeah, I think I brought everything football today to this show. I'm sorry, I think it's occupational hazard, but
anyway, hey, no, will you go to the well that you can drink from? Because me, that's rugby. Leilani, rugby. Okay, so rugby. And we'll sprinkle some other sports in there. Yeah.
All right. So this week we're also seeing some action from the OFC Under 16 Men's Championship, the qualifying tournament that's currently underway in Tonga. We've got Vanuatu, Cook Islands, and American Samoa, as well as the host nation, Tonga, that are competing in a single round robin format now. This is the qualifying tournament for the OFC Under 16 Men's Championship. The centralized tournament is going to be held here in Papua New Guinea in June. So those four nations are currently playing in the qualifying tournament to book the only spot that's remaining. So whoever finishes with the most wins or the most points after that single round robin will get that one spot. So far, we've seen the first matches yesterday. Cook Islands, Vanuatu, and American Samoa, they've all put up some pretty strong performance. Now, you got four teams in. There's only one spot, so it's been quite a hectic battle between those four teams, as it is all of them are trying to get the wins. Yesterday's match we saw Vanuatu coming out with a win, as well as Cook Islands. On Saturday we'll see more of the action. We hope to see, you know, American Samoa and Tonga coming out to get at least a point or a win, because they both lost yesterday to Vanuatu and Cook Islands respectively. So they still have three more games to go, and we'll see how that pans out this weekend and the next week.
Is there a female equivalent for this tournament, for an under-16s tournament, or no?
Yes, there is. So the qualifying tournament for the female will be held here in Papua New Guinea next month. Actually, in 2 weeks' time, we're hosting that qualifying tournament, the same format. So we'll have American Samoa and Cook Islands join the Papua New Guinea under-16 women's here in Port Moresby. So I'll be sure to bring more details back next month for that.
I'll make sure you're on in 2 weeks' time to give us all the football action from across the Pacific. That should be your own show, actually. We should just do that, get that sorted.
Yeah, definitely.
Only football, only football. All right, Leilani, here we go. Final island hop story that we have for today. The Fijiana versus the Wallaroos. Here we go. Doubleheader in Canberra before the Brumbies and Tars game in the Super Rugby Pacific. First game for... what is it? The female calendar, actually. So this is before Super Rugby starts. So this is going to be an interesting event.
Exactly. So the first game for both of the teams, I think it's been about 190-odd days since the Wallaroos actually went on the pitch together. The last time they were together was out at the Rugby World Cup when they unfortunately bowled out during the quarterfinals. But really good to be able to get the season underway for both of the teams. Now, looking at the teams themselves, the last time they had a hit out was back here in Fiji, where the Wallaroos proved a little bit too strong for the host nation. They actually toppled them over 43-7, but I know that the Fijiana girls have been working very, very hard back in camp for the last 2 weeks to be able to make quite an impact as they run onto the pitch come game time. So good to see Batila Tuake. She's back in the boots as captain, leading the team out there for Fijiana. And looking at the team itself, Fijiana's got a really good mix on the books at the moment. They've got some seasoned campaigners like Kalini Marawa, Salita Waisenga, and also Carolina, the former captain from two Rugby World Cups ago, Nasewa. So it's good to see them still out there on the pitch. And then we also got a bit of a injection of some new players from the Sevens program. So we've got Ngalo that's out there, as well as Lawa Vo. So I can't wait to see what those two speedsters are going to do against that defensive line from the Wallaroos. But they themselves have also had a bit of a revamp. So they've got about six new debutants that are heading out onto the pitch itself. So, yes, so exciting times for Fijiana. But post this match against the Wallaroos, they've actually got quite a good calendar ahead of them. A lot of good test matches just around the corner. So we've got, of course, 1 week after when they come back from this test match against the Wallaroo. We've got the Oceania Championships, which are about to start. We've got Samoa, we've got Tonga and TBC at the moment, but Japan could be in the mix, so we're waiting for their confirmation to come through. But apart from that, we've also got test matches against South Africa coming up shortly in April. We've got Spain in September, China in September, and also the Netherlands. So, you know, it's going to be a really good campaign for the Fijiana girls. But what do you think, Sam, about the Wallaroos?
I actually quite like it. I'm really looking forward to seeing when Eva Kapani comes on with Faliki Pohiva. Their front row, that's a very, very powerful front row. So I think they will be injected pretty early. Faitala Moleka, she's going to be playing at 15. She's not in the 10 jersey. So I think that's more of her natural game. Then Adiana Talakai as well. So at hooker, I know that she played a little bit last year, but she had a lengthy time off with her ACL injury. So I think just another sort of 12 months under her belt. I'm very excited for her to see how she goes in that game. But plenty happening. We'll see what happens tomorrow night, see who comes away winners. But when Super W start? Because this is good news for Fijiana in terms of they're going to have test match experience then going into Super W.
Exactly. So Super W will be kicking off around June the 6th and then running through to July.
Yeah, okay, so they're going to have plenty of test match footy leading into that, so that could change a few things come Super W time around fitness levels, and everyone's going to be battle-hardened by that time of the year, but that's us for island hopping, but thank you for bringing in those stories. All right, it's time to get to our second interview from Leilani, and she chatted with one of my favourite Fijian Drua players, that was a mouthful, that one, Mesake Donge. Like, he is, I don't know, there's just something about him where he plays the game with a smile on his face, just does his job, doesn't do any of the big things, but he does a lot of the little things well. He's one of my favourites, and he's still going at the young age of 32, so in Fijian years, he's still got another 12 years to go, I think, before he hangs up the boots. But, you know, what did you love about this interview, Leilani?
You know, I really love catching up with Mess. You know, as you said, he's such an impactful player out there. He does the little things right, and, you know, he's such a powerhouse prop for the team. I had a bit of a chat with him, of course, as we know, 100 days to go for the Nations Championship, and really just wanted to have a chat with him about what's his thoughts around the Nations Championship in the lead-up as a player.
It's massive, even for me as a player, to be able to be still playing and also to participate in this big competition. And it's just a dream come true, and especially, his, like you said, his making to be a part of it is just amazing, and really looking forward to it.
Wonderful. And as you know, for the first time ever, Fiji will be consistently going head-to-head with other Tier 1 nations in a structured global competition, which is going to happen every 2 years. Now, in terms of growth and development for the team itself, how big is that?
Oh, man, it's something great, because Fiji rugby doesn't really play a lot of Tier 1 nations. From our past experiences, we might be playing one to two Tier 1 nations in a year. But now we are fortunate enough to be playing a lot of those games. And for development of the players heading to World Cup, that's massive. To be able to play those games more often, which can increase the development of experience through players, and especially just playing in Tier 1 nations, can really reap a great reward going to the World Cup next year.
Most definitely. And you touched on it just then in terms of Rugby World Cup. As you likely said, you know, you've gone in the past playing potentially one or two Tier 1 teams in the prep lead up to the Rugby World Cup. And now this is jumping to over 10. How crucial is exposure to this level of competition heading into that Rugby World Cup? What does it mean for the Flying Fijians?
It's a great platform to prepare, from my experience, because the more that we get to play Tier 1 nations, the more experience we get out of it, and we'll see how we really measure up to playing top tier level rugby. And we can only get better by playing more and more of those Tier 1 nations. It's a massive opportunity, and something that we look forward to.
And something else to look forward to, obviously, is kicking off on the 4th of July, where Fiji will be taking on Wales, playing down at Cardiff City Stadium. And then on to that, the 11th of England in Liverpool, before heading up north to Edinburgh to take on Scotland on the 18th. Technically, these are all home games for Fiji. So as a player, how does that sit with you, knowing that here you are playing away from Fiji, but still carrying that same home responsibility in front of a huge Fijian diaspora?
I mean, it is basically a home game for us, but we would like to play it at home, despite the limited resources that we got. Playing away in the UK is similar to playing in Fiji, because with the amount of Fijians that are living there in the UK at the moment, it's something to look forward to, like especially with the Fijian fans out there. Sometimes when we play Tier 1 nations, the amount of Fijians that are in the stadiums is similar to they're just playing at home. So it is kind of, we would like to have played it in Fiji, but due to limited resources and the capacity that we do not have here, due to the agreement that we have with the Nations Cup, we sort of understand that we need the revenue coming from those kind of games to implant it into our grassroots rugby, and especially into our Fiji rugby landscape that we're trying to improve on.
With recent times, Fiji has already beat Wales, England and Scotland. So what does that really say about where the Fiji team is right now, and what message are you taking into these matches ahead?
I mean, that shows the capabilities that we have. Fiji rugby is growing as a rugby nation, especially with the inclusion of all this Rua and everything that has come with it, has really impacted the game. And it's shown that rather that we are growing as a nation in Tier 1 nation games, especially those big stages, has really improved the players' performances, especially in professionality level.
Fantastic. And Fiji, as we know, is the only Pacific nation in this competition. What does that responsibility mean to you personally?
To me, it feels like we are representing the Pacific nation, especially with Tonga and Samoa not being included. It's a massive role that we have to take on, and especially representing our brothers out there. And to be given this opportunity, which we can show to what we are capable of.
That's for sure. And, you know, honestly, I'm sure that all of us cannot wait to see Tonga, Samoa and our other Pacific Islanders, brothers and sisters that are out there and competing at this level very, very soon. Yeah. Well, Mesk, you know, big journey ahead. We know that you guys are going to do everybody proud, both in Fiji and across the Pacific as well. So all the very best with your preparations ahead, and, of course, the rest of your season with the draw. Vanaka vaka level.
No, well, level, Ani. Naka.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and thank you so much, Leilani, for that chat with Fiji front rower Mesake Donge. All right, now it's time to have a little bit of fun, a little bit of healthy competition, and get over to this.
Fresh Off the Dome.
Yeah, keep the applauses going for myself as we keep this going for Fresh Off the Dome. Every week I'll ask three questions. Patricia and Leilani, they know the drill. They'll use their name as their buzzer if they think they know the answer. It's first in, best dressed for this one. So even if I'm reading through and it's long-winded, these questions, jump in if you think you know the answer, okay? Are we ready? Because I am keeping
score. You know,
score.
Patricia has got like 100% success rate against me, so I'm a little bit nervous going against her.
I think the last time you were in the UK, it was like -4, you were stuck in the car, you had to turn the heater off so we could get the sound right. So you're a bit cold, you're a bit tired, so I get that. So this time I feel like you're more prepared, ready to go, and make it a little bit more competitive here. So let's see how we go for
love
fresh.
Love your confidence.
I'm trying to pump up your tyres here. I'm trying to pump up those tyres, the Fijian tyres, but let's go to question number one. This is a who am I? Who am I? I'm an Australian boxer. Okay? Wee tip, it's not me.
Leilani. With...
oh, you've gone really early here. I'm an Australian
I'm
boxer.
I'm just Jay Opatai.
I'm going to finish the...
Yeah, she's got it.
No, it's not it at all.
It's wrong.
You at least get me... I tried to just go, I'm an Australian boxer. It's not me as a little joke, but then I was going to move into with both Scottish and Cook Island heritage. I was born in Campbelltown, Western Sydney, and I'm 28 years of age. My name is so nice, you say it twice. His middle name is Samson. His hairline is exactly like Samson, the biblical figure. And he stopped actually cutting his hair at the age of 21 as a nod to his grandfather, who shared the same name with. I just claimed my 10th straight win. I'm still undefeated, and all 10 of those wins have been by knockouts. Who am I? Leilani, I don't think you can jump in because you already had your chance, but I'll give you a chance because you can go now. Go for it.
I know him because he came on That Pacific Sports Show with you. Yes. Is it Tera Moana?
And his last name is?
Tera
Moana. Yes, Tera Moana. He knocked out his opponents. He did it easy. He did it very easy. Leilani, I'm going to give you that point. I'll give it to you because...
Finally a win.
Because I feel sorry for you. Okay, I don't want you to have... 0 points at the end of Fresh Off the Dome. But anyway, let's get to question number two. This is another who am I? Oh, no, this is actually who am I talking about? A star footy player with Samoan heritage scored an absolutely ridiculous try last weekend. It is up there with an early contender for try of the year in the NRL. It came against the Roosters as the Panthers notched up another win to be undefeated this year. My nickname is Bizza. There's a character in the game. It was a little grubber. He put it through, regathered and grubbered through, got past James Tedesco. He's about 5 foot nothing, but plays well above his weight. How many more clues can I give here? Our producer's laughing.
I remember his face. I'm trying to think of his name. Brian Tall.
Can you say your name so I can can you buzz in with your name so I can officially give you Yes, it was Brian To'o. I can't believe it took you both that long.
No, I think I remember his face. I remember the try because I watched a game, but I was trying.
You're too busy stuck in football, soccer, and Leilani, you're too busy solving all the problems in Fiji rugby. So no time for rugby league, which I don't mind, actually. Okay, let's get to question number three. A lot of you know that I do host a few shows across ABC Pacific or co-host and help host those shows. Did you catch last week's episode?
Of That Pacific Sports Show.
The one and only. It's played on.
I didn't.
It's only played about 12 times throughout the week. So none of you caught that show. So no loyalty there from my friends from across the Pacific tuning in to support us. Nah.
Nope. And he got back in on Saturday.
There's the first excuse. Yeah. Patricia, what's your excuse?
My TV broke.
Oh, TV broke. That'll do me. Okay.
Sorry, Sam.
that's all good. There's iPads, there's iPhones, there's all these other devices where you can watch our show. But anyway, you guys, you both will be getting this one wrong then, I assume. Because I wanted to ask, who were the two boxers, the Samoan boxers, that came on our show last week? And the hint is it wasn't Jai Opataia, okay? Huh. I just need one of them. Still nothing.
I'm lost.
Okay. See, if you watched the show last week, we wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Okay, no points.
I'm blank.
No points. It was Liam Tullivatta.
We're such terrible friends.
You are very terrible. We're not friends anymore. So Liam Tullivatta and Paulo Okuso were on the couch last week, and they have their fights coming up early next month. Okay, we've got to move to a tiebreaker because it is 1-1, and we are running out of time. Players of Pacifica heritage make up what percentage of all NRL players? It's Patricia. The nearest two. Oh, go, Patricia. Confidence here. I like it.
40%?
Leilani, what are you thinking?
60%?
Is it closest to the pin if you go over, though? Is it closest to? It's just closest to? Okay, well, we've gone to the TMO here just to check in with that. And Leilani, you win it because it's closest to. It's 52%. So 2% difference there with that one. So Leilani, hey, where's all the cheers and the cheer who's? There it is.
In this campaign, I finally won one.
Pop the cork. Okay. There we go. Break it out. Finally, victory.
Thanks for going easy on me, Patricia.
Can you get out of the car and give us a victory dance?
I'll stay in the car and do it.
Well done. First win ever, or is that just first win for this year?
For this year, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe this year. Yeah,
I'm sure you won one at least last year for sure. But at least hey, what a way to finish the show on an absolute high. Well done for that. And we are keeping score this year because there will be a Fresh Off the Dome winner at the end of the year. And I'm still waiting to decide what the prize will be because budget is tight at the moment, especially with petrol prices. Holy hecka. But anyway, that's us for Fresh Off the Field today. A big thank you to my co-hosts, Patricia and Leilani.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Patricia.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Leilani. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice work. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.